Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmut, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmut, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and Makkedah, and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And, they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned unto the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmut, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with them, Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these men. And they came near, and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them, and slew them, and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass, at the time of the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. And that day Joshua took Makkedah, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed, them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain, and he did to the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkedah, and all Israel with him, unto Libna, and fought against Libna, and the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof, into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libna, and all Israel with him, unto Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libna. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron, and they fought against it, and they took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it, and he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libna and her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, kind of a lengthy reading. and I would just just mention a word about the temptation that we as people entertain when there is any repetition in the scripture that we think it tedious. The Lord sends repetition in his word to drive points home to us. If we are thinking rightly about who we are and rightly about who the Lord is, when there is repetition in Scripture, it ought to make us grieve, not because there's repetition, but because we need repetition. That we are a people that without that repetition would not retain things as we ought. And so we see a kind condescension on the part of the Lord. I used to have a teacher in high school. He was a funny guy. But one thing that he would say is, okay, so he would ask a question. I'm sure any of you who have ever been in a classroom setting have seen this take place. The teacher says, well, he asks a question, nobody answers. And so he calls upon a particular individual, Mr. So-and-so, what is the answer to the question? And, of course, the statement that comes back is, can you repeat the question? And the teacher then would say, this guy that I had as a teacher, he said, Am I going to teach this course twice this semester? It's an interesting thing to say, right? But I'm sure some of you have heard that before. Well, notice how, as human beings, we wear out very, very early. We say, how many times do I have to say this to you? Parents, I know we have words coming out of our mouths that we thought we would never say. You know, how many times have I told you? Oh, did my dad suddenly enter into the room? We think of those kinds of things, don't we? And yet, when we think of them, let us also remember the necessity that we have as people for repetition, because our attention spans are so very short, we're so easily distracted, and we need that kind of reinforcement. And so the Lord, at one point, in a kind of mock frustration, because the Lord obviously does not become frustrated, the Lord says what to them? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, over and over again I'm going to speak to you, right? Okay. So we have some repetition in this chapter as well. When we hear repetition, let's let it have its due fruit in us, that we pay attention the more, that we get the pattern down. What is being said here in this repetition? That there's not a thing left undone that God commanded to Joshua. Right? I mean, it would be easy to say, okay, all those cities and kings, he took care of them. Next chapter. But instead, we have this king. What did he do? Exactly as he did to the king before. This king, what did he do? Exactly as he did to the... Okay, so, Pastor, now you're repeating. Okay. We'll move on then. So what do we have here in the first part of this chapter is very, very, very amazing. Okay, so if you're Joshua and the Israelites, and you've been tricked by the Gibeonites into making a covenant, right? Oh, no. We should have taken counsel. The very next chapter, five kings band themselves together, and they're going to go take care of Gibeon. What are you thinking? Oh, thank you, Lord, for taking care of this problem that we got ourselves into. Right? Well, some would be tempted to think that way. But they had made an oath before the Lord. And they took that oath very, very seriously. The Gibeonites gave up their ability to make war. They became servants, which I think means, among other things, that they gave up all their instruments of war. They gave up all their weaponry. They are now drawers of water and cutters of wood. So besides a couple of axes and a couple of saws, they didn't have any swords, spears and shields, chariots and other engines of war. They didn't have it. They gave up to be servants to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, for their part, took that oath quite seriously. It was an oath that they took before the Lord, such that when those five kings band together and to go up against Gibeon, and Gibeon sends to them and says, hey, we're in trouble. We, remember, your servants over here, we're in trouble. What do the people of God do? Immediately, they mount up and ride to the sound of the guns. Right? They mount up in the defense of their servants, whom they have taken an oath before the Lord to care for. That's what it means to be the servant of someone. It's not only that you serve them, but they have a particular responsibility as superiors to you, to protect you. And so, rather than thinking, oh look, I'm reading Providence here, and it's coming out exactly like I expected, that wicked oath that we took is going to be fixed, and these five kings are going to take care of the Gibeonites in our stead, they said, we've taken an oath before the Lord, which entails the responsibility that we rise up, and go defend our servants. And so they did. And on the way there, the Lord reveals to Joshua that they're doing the right thing and that the Lord will fight for them, and they need not to worry about those five kings, that they have stirred themselves up to their own hurt, and that the Lord will give them the victory. And so that's what we see here. You see how amazing that is? Because is it not the case that if we make a mistake, we think that to undo that mistake is really the remedy that we need, instead of taking responsibility for that mistake, that error that we have made, and taking it like we should? And this is exactly what Joshua and the children of Israel did. They took their responsibility quite seriously, such that they stepped up and made war against those kings. The Lord delivered them into their hand and actually made the work of subduing the land much shorter than it could have been. And so now when we look back into chapter 9, we see the purpose of God standing behind it all. Because it was of the Lord's purpose to stir up the Gibeonites to deceive and to stir up the Israelites not to seek counsel, so in these sinful and unworthy acts of men, the Lord might work His perfect providence upon His people, such that five kings are stirred up all at once, and in the course of 2 or 3 days, they're all done away with and dispatched in the southern part of the kingdom. And that because once Joshua and the children of Israel had committed by way of oath, they took that responsibility seriously and thought the fix of this is not to wipe out the Gibeonites or to hang back while someone else does, but to step up to the oath that we've made and protect them as we should. I just found that fascinating as I was meditating on this passage this week. Because normally we think that if we do something and it's wrong, then it's the undoing of it that fixes it. And that's not true. The Lord had a completely different design here. So then we have the object lesson for all of the children of Israel, the five kings who were at one time pretty haughty. They had a pretty good design on what they were going to do. Well, they end up fleeing together as a band of five. They're left. All the other folks have escaped either to their cities or have been slain in the field or have been slain by the hailstones that the Lord sent on them. And so the Lord indeed punctuates His providence by sending those hailstones. And so now here they are holed up in the cave. It comes to Joshua and Joshua says, don't kill them yet. First we have something to do. Just shut them up in that cave. And so when Joshua gets there, they draw those five kings out and they lay them down on the ground before the elders of the tribes of Israel. And they say, now come forward, you leaders, and put your feet on the necks of those men, in testimony to what the Lord will do for us with regard to all of our enemies. He has promised to give us this land. Let us, therefore, not ever fear. And so we have this wonderful object lesson. And then when the object lesson is done, those kings are killed according to the commandment of the Lord. Now, there seems to be a little bit of an anomaly in the passage as you move forward. But if you think about rightly, it's not an anomaly at all, because those kings were king over those five cities. Those five cities then are named again because people have fled to those cities. And it says that Joshua invaded those cities, took those cities and killed the king. Wait a minute. Didn't he kill the king over here? That's right. He killed the king over here and then he killed his successor. The next one that stood in line when Joshua entered into that city to conquer it after he had already taken care of the king back at the cave of Makkedah. And so, yes, there was another king that came up in succession as that king was dead and Joshua killed him too. And so that is indeed, once again, a wonderful testimony to the faithfulness of the Lord in prosecuting the land of Canaan that He had promised to the Israelites and giving that to them under the hand of Joshua. Now, this is not the entirety of the land. If you have Book of Maps in the back of your Bible, you'll see that this is the southern portion of the land from east to west, really all the way across. But it's the southern portion. It's as you come, like, okay, so you have the Dead Sea here, you have the Sea of Galilee up here, and you have the Jordan River in between, right? And everything stops at the Dead Sea. Nothing comes out. But the Dead Sea, from the Dead Sea, then going all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea, and way down here in Gaza, and way down here in Goshen, and Kadesh Barnea, all the way from the south to about halfway up in what is what we will come to know as the nation of Israel, all the way across, east to west, from the Jordan River to the sea, from the Dead Sea southward. These are the five nations that dwelt in those cities, and they are all taken care of here in just these 3 days. The Lord provided in that one long day. And by the way, it is a real long day. The scriptural record is such that there is no sleight of hand here or no, well, this is an embellishment or a legendary tale. The Bible is very clear that the sun stood still in the midst of the sky for the space of a whole day. It didn't move. So for the time that it would normally take the sun to rise and to set through its course, that day, the sun stayed at its zenith for that particular point, that it took the children of Israel to dispatch their enemies under the hand of the Lord. And then the sun went down after that. And that's why we have the talk of successive days after that in the chapter. But during the course of that one long day and one or two other days, it's hard to tell between the two, but one or two other days in addition to that long day, the entire southern kingdom is taken. The entire southern portion of the land of Canaan is given over to Israel, and all because five kings stirred themselves up together to attack the servants of Israel. All right, thus ends the reading of Joshua chapter 10. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.